markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures on the rise this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures with a bid right now, with Dow futures up 213 points. S&P's gained 33, while NASDAQ futures are up by 142. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.06%. Gold is little changed. Oil is in the red. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 1.4%. Japan rose 1.1% overnight, while European markets are also in the green this morning. And back in the U.S., on the economic front at 9 o'clock, the House Price Index, and at 10 o'clock, consumer confidence. In deal news, Elon Musk sent a letter to Twitter adding to reasons to terminate the deal. And in geopolitics, the U.S. is preparing to sell $1.1 billion in missiles and radar support to Taiwan. In other news, Goldman Sachs said the downturn in the U.S. housing market has further to run. And wrapping things up, Sealed Air was raised to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. Well, you mentioned that letter from Elon Musk to Twitter. Twitter shares are down 1.2% in early trading right now, and we continue to watch Tesla up 2.3%. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Ukraine's military says it is advancing in Russian-held territory just north of the Crimea Peninsula. It comes as the International Atomic Energy Agency heads to the Russian-occupied nuclear power plant to the northeast in Ukraine. Tony Ornato, the senior Secret Service official whose name was at the center of controversy during the January 6th hearings, has retired. At the U.S. Open, Serena Williams, who announced this will likely be her last Open, advanced after her first round win last night over Danka Kovanec. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Angels 4-3, but Aaron Judge hit his 50th home run of the season. Judge became one of 10 MLB players to have multiple 50-homer seasons. The Red Sox and Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen?
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT is dedicated to bolstering support for female and minority students pursuing careers in high-paying STEM industries. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. China's battling COVID in every province, despite its use of the world's strictest measures to keep the virus out. All 31 mainland provinces recorded at least one local COVID case over the past 10 days. That's the broadest exposure to the virus since early 2021. Restrictions have been increasing around Beijing and in Shenzhen, China's southern technology hub. The European Union is set to meet its gas storage filling goal 2 months ahead of target. The bloc is bracing for a tough winter with Russia limiting supplies and energy prices soaring. Gas storage helps absorb supply shocks and provides up to 30% of the fuel consumed in winter. And South Korean battery maker LG and Japanese automaker Honda are investing $4.4 billion in a joint venture in the U.S. to produce batteries for Honda electric vehicles in the North American market. The plant site is still undecided, but construction will begin in early 2023, with mass production of advanced lithium-ion battery cells to start by the end of 2025. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan?
Thank you, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just about 6:51 on Wall Street. Now it's time to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Biden preparing a rare primetime speech on the threat he sees from the Republican Party, the Biden administration getting set to give $1.1 billion in arms sales to Taiwan, the Justice Department raising doubts on former President Trump's special master request, and the Secret Service agent at the center of January 6th testimony resigning. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins is back with us now for more on some of these stories. Emily, the president's going to be spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania over the next few days.
He is. He's going to go back to his roots. He'll be in Wilkes-Barre today. He's also going to have Pittsburgh. And then, of course, his big primetime speech this Thursday in Philadelphia. Pennsylvania, Nathan, a really, really critical state for the upcoming midterms. And not only is there a competitive governor race there, which, of course, really doesn't decide the balance of Congress, but could mean a lot to Pennsylvanians. There's also a competitive Senate race and numerous competitive House races. He's headed up to Congressman Matt Cartwright's district today. He's a Democrat who has got elected several times in a Trump district. But of course, this year, odds are not in Democrats' favor. So this is really part of Biden trying to get out more on the campaign trail. He said he was going to do this at the beginning of the year to get out more, to talk to the public more. There's a sense that Biden does better when he is away from the bubble that is Washington, D.C., and is actually kind of able to get out and talk with folks one-on-one. So definitely expect to see more of that as we get closer to the election. And it'll be very interesting to hear his speech tonight. You know, Biden kind of presented himself as the candidate, the Democratic candidate who could work with Republicans, who could build bridges, make things happen. And to an extent, he has. But he's also trying to, at the same time, push this message that Republicans have become too radical and that they are now a threat to democracy. He's dusting off that 2020 playbook and expect to kind of hear more about him sort of pitching Democrats as the party that you know would save Americans and continue democracy and set that at odds with Republicans.
It is the 2020 playbook, as you mentioned, Emily. I guess the question is whether that kind of playbook is going to work for congressional candidates on the Democratic Party looking to take or keep control of Congress in 2022.
Well, certainly a number of them are leaning in that direction. When you talk with the head of the Democrats' campaign arm, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, I mean, every time I've talked with him, it's almost like you can, like, count the number of times that he says MAGA Republicans. Like, that's just become a part of his speech now. And even when I went up to Congressman Matt Cartwright's district in the last couple days and spoke with him, you know, he very much tied his Republican opponent to more extreme policies, particularly those on abortion. That's really something that Democrats see as a winning issue for them, especially if they can paint Republicans as being pretty radical on that and not having any sort of exceptions. So that's something that Democrats are really focused on right now. And it's something that they do believe could make a difference for them when it comes to keeping the House and keeping the Senate.
Let's turn to geopolitics. There's a lot of focus right now still on Taiwan, Emily.
Yes, we've got since House Speaker Nancy Pelosi went on that trip, we've seen other lawmakers from both sides of the aisle, Senator Ed Markey, a Democrat, Senator Marsha Blackburn, a Republican, go ahead and visit the island. We also just have a new alert crossing the terminal that Arizona's Governor Ducey is going to be visiting Taiwan and meet chip makers there. And this also comes as the White House is planning a $1.1 billion in missiles and surveillance radar to Taiwan. This is the largest since Biden took office. These aren't any sort of new weapons. This doesn't really change Taiwan's capabilities as far as military is concerned. But it really continues to kind of send this strong message to Beijing that the U.S. is supportive of Taiwan. And it comes, you know, as there are heightened tensions. China has continued to send warships and aircraft into the Taiwan Strait. Remember, there were those missile launches and flyovers after Pelosi's trip. So certainly there's been no sort of de-escalation from Washington. They have, you know, continued to show their support for Taiwan with this missile sale, of course, being the latest.
And we've had some developments as well in the FBI search at Mar-a-Lago, former President Donald Trump's home, and the classified material found there. What's the latest when it comes to the former president's request for an independent review of the documents?
So there was the federal judge has kind of been open to his request to have this third party, the special master, review some of the documents. But the Justice Department came out and said that it's actually already screened the documents that they got from Mar-a-Lago. Potentially, you know, that might sort of eliminate the need for a third party to sort of look over and say, you know, this is something that the FBI should have and this is something that they shouldn't. Trump's really kind of pushed back on the documents that were taken from his home. We still don't have a good sense of exactly what they contain. But it is clear that, you know, this is certainly a part of a wider Department of Justice investigation. And this was something that will probably continue to play out in the news certainly just a huge story. Lots of unprecedented parts in here.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins keeping an eye on all the developments in the nation's capital for us. Emily, thanks as always. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM. HD2. A red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. The National Congress of the Communist Party of China is going to hold its leadership selection meeting October 16th. Chinese President Xi Jinping is expected to extend his decade in power at that event with an unprecedented third presidential term. This is all according to the Xinhua news agency. And we're still keeping an eye on Twitter and Tesla shares, with Elon Musk putting in that new filing, citing a whistleblower claim as another reason why he should be allowed to back out of his $44 billion takeover offer. Twitter shares right now down 1.3% in pre-market trading. Tesla is moving higher by a bit more than 2%. Futures moving higher as well. S&P futures up 34 points. Dow futures up 222. NASDAQ futures are higher by 143 points. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1.
To Boston,
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco,
Bloomberg 960.
To the country,
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe,
the Bloomberg Business App
and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges smart and loan rates from 2.83% to 3.83%. Their clients can also earn extra income by lending their fully paid shares of stock. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Well, up first, Twitter shares are down 1% in early trading after Elon Musk sent a termination letter to Twitter as the Tesla founder tries to back out of his deal for the social media giant. Meanwhile, Tesla shares are higher, up 2.2% in early trading.
As for the broader market, Karen, futures are bouncing back following two straight days of losses on Wall Street following Fed Chair Jay Powell's hawkish comments Friday. Terry Spath is Chief Investment Officer at Zuma Wealth.
The markets are spooked because they're afraid that the Fed could create a hard landing. Looking forward into September, what we're going to want to try and anticipate is if we see a 75 basis point rise, which I think is a very high probability, an increasing probability, is that digested as bad news or as good news?
Zuma Wealth CIO Terry Spath says she expects continued market volatility in the short term.
While the market may have been rattled by Powell's speech, Nathan, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari says he was comforted by the sell-off.
I was actually happy to see how Chair Powell's Jackson Hole speech was received. You know, people now understand the seriousness of our commitment to getting inflation back down to 2%.
Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari made the comments on the Odd Lots podcast with Bloomberg's Tracy Alloway and Joe Weisenthal. Listen to the entire interview wherever you get your podcasts.
Interest rates are in focus in Europe, Karen. ECB chief economist Philip Lane seems to question the idea of a 75 basis point hike next week. He's urging a steady pace of increases to fight record inflation.
To politics now, Nathan. President Biden will deliver a primetime speech this week, escalating criticism of what he calls extreme MAGA Republicans. It comes as the president is seeing his approval ratings improve ahead of the November midterms. Bloomberg political contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno says for Democrats, one strategy will be keeping former President Trump in the news.
The political reality is the more Donald Trump is in the news, the better for Democrats. And that's been reality. So, you know, the more Trump, the better for them.
And Bloomberg politics contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno spoke to Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 633 on Wall Street, 75 degrees in Central Park. Got a broken down vehicle headed to JFK Airport. It's on the southbound Van Wyck at Linden Boulevard. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Mayor Eric Adams says he is signing several bills to expand access and resources to pregnant women. Mayor Adams says these bills will promote and expand access to maternal health care.
From the overturning of Roe versus Wade to state efforts to criminalize those who seek abortions, reproductive health care is in danger. The health choices should be made by women and their bodies. They should make the decisions on these important medical moments.
Mayor Adams says one of the bills establishes a maternal bill of rights. More busloads of migrants are coming to New York City today from Texas. The city continues to try and find places for the asylum seekers. Mayor Adams says more than 7,600 migrants have arrived in New York from Texas. Authorities say the 20-year-old who opened fire in a Bend, Oregon supermarket, killing two before he turned the gun on himself, was a loner who was known for getting into fights at the high school where he graduated in 2020. Meanwhile, a vigil was held last night for the victims who were shot at the Safeway store Sunday night. Reverend Erica Spade attended the vigil.
There's just a growing dissatisfaction with, why should we be afraid to go to the grocery store? Why should we be afraid to send our children to school? And so deep grief, but also deep anger.
Two others were wounded in Sunday's shooting. Flooding has caused a worst-case scenario to hit the drinking water supply for Jackson, Mississippi. One of the main pumps at the city's main water treatment facility failed earlier than predicted. The city can no longer provide enough running water for everyone, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves.
Please stay safe. Do not drink the water. In too many cases, it is raw water from the reservoir being pushed through the pipes.
Governor Reeves says Jackson's mayor declared a state of emergency. Ukraine's military says it is advancing in Russian-held territory just north of the Crimea Peninsula. President Zelensky didn't talk specifically about the operation there in the region. He said Ukrainian forces were retaking this country's territory, and he had a message for Russian forces. If you want to survive, it's time to flee. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has got the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. It was a night of home runs for the Yankees and Angels in Anaheim. The Angels hit three, one by ex-Yank Mike Ford, another by Shohei Ohtani. Two-run shot, his 29th. Yankees got solo home runs from Anthony Rizzo, fourth inning, his 29th. And then in the eighth, a patented Aaron Judge blast to straightaway center field. Judge's 50th home run. He becomes only the 10th to have done it twice. But the Angels won 4-3, and it's the Yanks' third straight loss after winning five in a row. The Mets were off. They host the high-flying Dodgers tonight. L.A. comes in having won 25 of the last 31. Serena Williams has never actually used the word retirement. She admits to being vague, said last night she'll continue to be vague. And her career is definitely not over yet. She won her first-round match at the U.S. Open, straight sets over Danka Kovinic, much to the delight of a big crowd.
When I walked out, the reception was really overwhelming. It was loud, and I could feel it in my chest, and it was a really good feeling.
Serena will be back tomorrow night for what figures to be a tougher match in the second round with second seed Annette Contavite. Opening day upsets, plenty of them. Dominic Thiem, who won the Open 2 years ago, lost. So did fourth seeded Stefano Tsitsipas. Taylor Fritz, the 10th seed, highest American seed. He was beaten by another American, Brandon Holt. He's the son of one-time U.S. Open champ Tracy Austin. Simona Halep stunned by Daria Snigor, a 20-year-old from Ukraine. She's a qualifier. She had never won a professional match before. R.J. Barrett on the verge of a big contract extension with the Knicks. 4 years, $120 million. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John. Thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. And All of a sudden, Creedy, Tesla and Twitter shares are on the move.
They are. They're back in the news, back in focus. Really, just moments ago, you had Elon Musk sending a letter to Twitter, adding reasons to terminate the deal. Now, remember, this is these are two companies that are starting to deal with the legal fallout. A lot of this is expected, I should say, to end by October, a five-day trial, I believe, which is what Twitter had advocated for. Elon Musk had advocated for more time. Ultimately, the judge had favored in Twitter's favor. So as we start to see some of these developments in the court case, the stock is likely to move. And that such development is coming out this morning. Elon Musk, like I said, sending a letter to Twitter, adding recent allegations from a Twitter whistleblower on further reasons why he believes he can cancel his $44 billion deal with the social media company. Musk lawyers said that they wrote the additional termination notice in the event that the July 8th termination notice was determined to be invalid for any reason. So here's what he added on, Nathan. He said there was an alleged violation of a consent decree with the FTC. He says that there are SEC filings containing alleged untrue statements around privacy and data protection. Failure to disclose conduct from the CEO Parag Agarwal as well around statements he had made to his Twitter's board. He's also talking about resulting lawsuits from the whistleblower complaint and alleged intellectual property infringements. That's a lot of legal talk for saying there is way, way more that Elon Musk has in his toolbox here to throw at Twitter to end this deal. And really, after we saw those headlines, Twitter shares actually dropped. They are down about 1.4%. And this is interesting because that negative correlation between Twitter and Tesla, it is still there. Because when Twitter shares drop, Tesla shares rise, and Tesla shares are indeed up 2.3%.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch as well, and it's going to make that Delaware hearing all the more interesting to keep an eye on as well. And I know you're keeping an eye on meme stocks again this morning, Creedy.
I mean, it's kind of wild. I'm having a really severe bout of deja vu here, Nathan, because Bed Bath & Beyond, once again, it is up, and it's up by a lot. Remember, it is in line with the broader market. You are seeing the entire market rebound, but Bed Bath & Beyond is going the extra mile here, up about 10% in pre-market trading. BBBY is your ticker. Once again, no real news peg, so that really screams retail trader to you, and they are showing up in the likes of Bed Bath & Beyond. The question is, does it show up on the macro front?
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Creedy Gupta keeping an eye on a lot of name-by-name volatility this morning for sure. Looking at the broader market, we're seeing that bounce back following the two-day slide from Fed Chair Jay Powell's comments at Jackson Hole. S&P futures on the rise now by 34 points. Dow futures up 220. NASDAQ futures leading those gains up 145 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 10/32. The yield 3.06%. Yield on the 2-year right now 3.40%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly sunny, chance for late day shower, upper 80s. Showers will end early tomorrow, clearing, highs in the upper 80s once again. Sunny, less humid Thursday, high near 85. Right now, 75 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we continue to watch shares of Twitter this morning. They're down almost 2.5% in early trading. This says Elon Musk sent a letter to the social media company highlighting additional reasons to terminate a merger agreement. Tesla shares, meanwhile, are rising this morning up more than 2%. Futures on the rise this morning as well. S&P futures up 35 points. Dow futures up 224. NASDAQ futures up 146. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. 10-year Treasury up 10/32, yield 3.06%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.40%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% at $1.55 at $95.46 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $4.30 at $17.45.40 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0042 against the dollar. British pound 1.1728. And the yen 138.31. And Bitcoin is up 1.3% at $20,450. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Ukrainian forces launched ground assaults in the Kherson region of southern Ukraine. It comes as inspectors head to the nuclear plant to the northeast from the latest offensive. President Joe Biden plans to deliver a primetime speech Thursday in Philadelphia. assailing Republicans for what he regards as their threats to U.S. rights and freedom. Retirement will have to wait. At the U.S. Open, Serena Williams advanced after her first-round win last night over Danka Kovanec. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Angels 4-3. But Aaron Judge hit his 50th home run of the season. Judge became one of 10 players in Major League history with multiple 50-homer seasons. The Red Sox and Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're pleased to be joined this morning by Mark Vittner, senior economist at Wells Fargo, as we continue to kind of assess the market reaction to Fed Chair Jay Powell's hawkish tone at the end of last week at the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium. Mark, good morning. Do you think the market has fully priced in what Fed Chair Powell had to say about higher for longer interest rates?
Well, I think we're getting there. It's we probably still have a little ways to go. I think the folks are underestimating how much more the Fed is going to have to do to bring inflation down. They don't have to do it all at once. And I think that everybody's got kind of hung up on whether they're going to go 50 or 75 in September. And the real question is, do they go to 4% or are they going to have to go higher than 4%? And how long are they going to have to hold interest rates that high? And I think the message from Jackson Hole was, you know, we're not quite sure ourselves, but it's probably going to be 4 or a little bit higher than 4. And don't count on rate cuts next year. And so rates are going to be a little higher for a little longer. And I don't think that's fully priced in.
What do you think the Fed has to see to get to a point where it can say that we can at least start slowing down the pace of rate hikes?
Well, I think they have to have a better idea that the economy's momentum has slowed in a way that aggregate demand is going to cool off inflation. And I think we're making progress on that. And a lot of people are probably scratching their heads and say, wait a minute, we had two declines in GDP in the first quarter and second quarter. Isn't that enough? And those declines are a little illusory. I think that we're going to see later in September, on September 29th, when we get the benchmark revisions, the GDP growth was actually positive in the first two quarters of the year, so that we are losing momentum, but you know, we're coming from a little bit more strength than people had counted on. The employment numbers have been real strong. We're still seeing a lot of pressure on wages, so we probably need to see a definitive rollover in wages before the Fed is going to feel that they can that the end in their rate hikes is within sight. And then we need to see some improvement on the supply side, which the Fed has less control over in terms of supply chain bottlenecks and seeing aggregate production pick up in the U.S. And that's going to be longer. That imbalance seems like it's going to carry well over into 2023.
Fed Chair Powell did put a lot of emphasis on the tightness of the labor market in his speech on Friday. Do you think we're going to start to see some signs of that rollover in wage price pressure in the print that we get on Friday?
We're not looking for it there, although I do think that we're topping out. We're looking for about a half a percentage point increase in average hourly earnings, and we should be up about 5.3% year to year. It's probably too soon, although we are seeing some improvement. You know, anybody who's taken Uber or Lyft will see that there's been a notable increase in drivers coming back. And so I think that's one of those real life things that I think has some carryover into the broader economy. I do think people are coming back in the workforce. It may be, though, that they're coming back because they're getting squeezed by higher food and energy prices and they need a little bit more income.
We got about a minute left here, Mark. What kind of economic impact are you looking for from the Fed beginning its balance sheet unwind this week?
Well, in terms of their balance sheet unwind, this has had an ongoing impact on the market. And we've seen that the spread on mortgage rates relative to the 10-year Treasury has widened considerably. And I don't know that all of that is because of the anticipation of the Fed reducing their mortgage holdings, but I know some of it is. And the mortgage market and housing is the biggest transmission mechanism for one of the biggest transmission mechanisms for monetary policy. And that's one part of the economy that has clearly slowed. And I think we'll see some evidence of that in the Case-Shiller numbers that come out this morning, that home prices have clearly rolled over. And most of the country is now seeing a great deal of discounting in the housing market. So the balance sheet runoff is having an impact. I mean, that's one of the things that drove asset prices up. And we're clearly seeing that asset prices are reversing. The real question going forward is, when they ramp up, as they're doing now, as they ramp up the runoff of securities, does that have an increasingly impact on asset prices? And I certainly hope not, but I think we're likely to see that in some areas.
All right. As always, thanks, Mark, for your thoughts. Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo, with us this morning as we continue to watch futures move higher. Right now, S&P futures up 34 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly sunny. Late day shower possible tonight. We'll get to the upper 80s. Any showers end early tomorrow. Highs in the upper 80s once again. Will be sunny, less humid, mid 80s for Thursday. Right now, 75 degrees.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, August 30th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
futures rise following the worst two-day stock sell-off since June.
A top Fed official says he was happy how the market reacted to Jay Powell's Jackson Hole speech.
And the Biden administration said to be preparing to sell $1 billion in arms to Taiwan.
New York Mayor Adams provides more resources for pregnant women. Plus, Ukraine has launched a southern offensive, as inspectors head to a nuclear plant. I'm Mike LaBarre. More ahead.
I'm John Statchauer in sports. Aaron Judge's 50th home run came in a Yankee loss to the Angels. Serena Williams advances at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. I mean, check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 34 points. Dow futures up 222. And NASDAQ futures up 136. 10-year Treasury up 9/30 seconds. Yield 3.06%. The yield on the two-year, 3.40%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.7%. Nathan.
Karen, the rise in futures follows two straight days of losses on Wall Street. In fact, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 posted their worst two-day tumble since mid-June following Fed Chair Jay Powell's hawkish comments on Friday. Aaron Kennan is CEO at Clear Harbor Asset Management.
There has been a belief since perhaps mid-June that the Fed at some point, perhaps even by the end of the year, would be in a position where they're looking at data and decelerating inflation, and that they may, in fact, be in a position to pivot. And I think what we heard on Friday was that's not accurate. Do not fight the Fed. You know, if you're predicting a pivot soon, please do not bet on it.
Aaron Kennan with Clear Harbor Asset Management says equities could experience a rough patch as the Fed continues battling inflation.
Well, Nathan, while investors may have been rattled by the stock market reaction to Powell's speech, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari says it was good by him.
I certainly was not excited to see the stock market rallying after our last Federal Open Market Committee meeting, because I know how committed we all are to getting inflation down. And I somehow think the markets were misunderstanding that. And I was actually happy to see how Chair Powell's Jackson Hole speech was received. You know, people now understand the seriousness of our commitment to getting inflation back down to 2%.
Kashkari said the U.S. central bank is determined to contain inflation.
The most costly mistake we will make is if we get fooled thinking, oh, we've got inflation licked. Now let's go cut interest rates because the economy is showing signs of weakening. And so the way to deal with the lags for me is just to get somewhere and sit there until we're really convinced that we've got inflation licked.
Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari made the comments on the Odd Lots podcast with Bloomberg's Tracy Alloway and Joe Risenthal. Listen to the entire interview wherever you get your podcasts.
Interest rates are also in focus in Europe, Karen. ECB chief economist Philip Lane is urging a steady pace of rate hikes to fight record inflation. He thinks that will help minimize any negative consequences.
Where we are now, where the policy rate is zero, is below any version of the terminal rate. We said in July, and it's fairly obvious, and the market believes that the surveys anticipated, is there will be a series of hikes coming up. But of course, what the big debate is exactly how high should the accumulated increase be.
ECB Chief Economist Philip Lane's comments seemed to push back against some of his colleagues who floated the idea of a 75 basis point hike at next week's meeting.
On to corporate news now, Nathan. Microsoft has outlined planned changes to the terms of its software licensing agreements in Europe. And Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
It follows complaints to antitrust regulators from some European cloud computing service providers that the company's practices put rivals at a competitive disadvantage. Microsoft says the changes will make it simpler for customers of rival cloud service companies in Europe to move their existing software to these other networks. It says the new terms will also ensure that cloud partners, quote, have access to the products necessary to sell cost-effective solutions that customers want. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. On the earnings front, we get quarterly results this morning from Best Buy. Bloomberg's Tom Busby has a preview.
After cutting its annual profit and sales forecast in July, it's expected to be a dismal second quarter earnings report from the Minnesota-based retailer as it contends with weakening demand for PCs, laptops, and other consumer electronics. U.S. comp sales forecast to tumble more than 11% last quarter. The big focus, though, for investors, the chain's outlook for the all-important holiday shopping season. Consensus calls for adjusted earnings per share of $1.38, revenue of $10.35 billion. I'm Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. To Politics Now, Bloomberg News has learned the Biden administration is preparing to sell $1.1 billion in missiles and radar support to Taiwan. It would be the largest transfer of U.S. weapons to Taiwan in almost 2 years. Although the sale does not offer Taiwan any new military capacity, still likely to lead to more protests from China.
In the meantime, Karen, President Biden will deliver a primetime speech this week, escalating his criticism of what he calls extreme MAGA Republicans. A preview now from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
White House officials tell Bloomberg News President Biden will speak about the battle for the soul of the nation and will warn that the country's core values, including democracy itself, are at stake. Thursday's address from Philadelphia's Independence National Historical Park will condemn the GOP for what Biden regards as their threats to U.S. rights and freedoms and sharpen his attacks on Republicans as he works to reframe the midterm elections, which are traditionally punishing for first-term presidents. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. And President Biden's approval ratings have been on the rise. The poll tracking website 538 now says Democrats are now slightly favored to keep control of the Senate in November. Republicans, meanwhile, are dealing with multiple investigations against former President Donald Trump. Bloomberg political contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno says the more the former president is in the news, the better it is for Democrats.
Republicans know that. They would like to turn their focus on Joe Biden. They'd like to talk about inflation. They'd like to talk about his age. They'd like to talk about a whole bunch of things. They haven't gotten the oxygen in the room because Donald Trump takes it all up.
Bloomberg politics contributor Jeannie Sheehan Zeno spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. Again, futures on the rise this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Now we're at 75 degrees in Central Park. Getting heavy on the westbound LIE from the Van Wyck through Woodhaven Boulevard. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City will give pregnant women more support and expanded access to resources. It's an effort to address health disparities. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says that he is signing 7 bills into law making pregnancy safer and bridge the gap for maternal health care for black women.
And the numbers are clear. Black women are 9 times more likely to die of pregnancy-related causes than white women in New York City. That is an alarming, unacceptable number.
Mayor Adams says the bills will do several things, including establish a maternal bill of rights and for women to be free from discrimination. A teen lost an arm after an impact in the New York City subway. The 15-year-old's arm was severed after being struck by a northbound R train in Jackson Heights, Queens. He's currently in stable condition at Bellevue Hospital. It is said the teen was trying to subway surf. Ukraine's military says it is advancing in Russian-held territory just north of the Crimea Peninsula. Ukrainian forces launched ground assaults in the Kherson region. It comes as the International Atomic Energy Agency heads to the Russian-occupied nuclear power plant to the northeast in Ukraine. There is no safe water to drink from the tap for up to 180,000 people in Jackson, Mississippi. Floodwaters from the Pearl River are going down, knocking out the main pumping station. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves.
We are drafting a state of emergency declaration with regards to Jackson's failure to produce running water.
Governor Reeves says that also means there is less or no water to fight fires and flush toilets. Climate researchers are sounding the alarm that Greenland's melting ice sheet will eventually raise global sea levels by about 10 inches. According to the report in the journal Nature, the fear now is that it may be inevitable. Author and science journalist Gaia Vince says nations have to start planning now for future climate refugees and mass migration.
People will not be able to adapt in certain places. They will have to move.
Author Gaia Vince. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees, after a couple of losses in Oakland, began a series in Anaheim. And in the eighth inning, a milestone.
They 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50. Into the rock pile in center field in Anaheim. It's 4-3 Angels. After home run number 50 for Aaron Judge.
The FAN had the call. He's only the 10th player in baseball history to have had two 50 home run seasons, and he gets there before even getting to September. The question now is if Judge can break Roger Maris's Yankee and American League record of 61 homers. Angels won 4-3 on a Shohei Ohtani two-run homer, his 29th. It came off Frankie Montas, who has 4-11 record between the Yankees and Oakland. The Dodgers, with a 10-inning win in Miami, are now 51 games over 500 as they start a series tonight with the Mets at Citi Field. Across the parking lot at the U.S. Open last night, hot ticket to see Serena Williams. Not the final match of her career. She beat Duncan Kovinic, straight sets, so she'll be back tomorrow night for a second-round match with Annette Kontaveit, and she is the tournament's second seed. The Knicks are said to be close to an agreement with R.J. Barrett, only 22 years old, and he's getting a four-year, $120 million extension. So if they are to make a trade with Utah for Donovan Mitchell, it will not include Barrett. NFL teams, including Jets and Giants, have to cut their rosters down today. In a surprise, the 49ers, who are starting Trey Lance, are keeping Jimmy Garoppolo as the backup quarterback. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Red headline just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Elon Musk has sent a letter to Twitter adding reasons to terminate his $44 billion buyout offer. Twitter shares right now are down almost 3%. Tesla shares are up more than 2%. Futures are higher. This is Bloomberg. Good morning. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, chance for a late day shower today, upper 80s. Any showers end early tomorrow, clearing, highs in the upper 80s for Wednesday. Sunny, less humid, mid 80s for Thursday. Right now, 75 in Central Park.